We are back.
We are back and live.
Stock and Chuff Pod / Stock and Chuff Radio Show back in action after a little bit of a spring break. Much needed.
Much needed spring break.
But it's good to be back.
It's great to be back, man. This is awesome.
March Madness happened. It's still happening.
I mean, what a March Madness it has been.
A lot of upsets. The biggest upset of all. Oh, let's just jump right into it. UMBC.
University of Maryland.
Baltimore County.
Dang it.
People ask me, like, hey, as a University of Maryland student, can you take credit for this? I'm like, no, we cannot at all. It's not even UMBC. It's nothing close. I don't think UMBC has a basketball team. I think we're the basketball team for them. The Terps. Just reminding y'all, our listeners, we're here reporting. We're here, recording. Podcasting.
It feels like we're reporting.
From WMUC Studios. Shout out to WMUC and WMUC Sports.
Thank you for the love.
Giving us this space, and we're really appreciative, but we are here on Maryland's campus. We are University of Maryland students. That's not the same as UMBC, though.
So, I take a different approach. When you're from Cleveland, and you don't get that many wins, if University of Maryland's in the name, it works for me.
It works for you. It really does.
Just think about
it. They're called the Retrievers. We're called the Terps. Doesn't count.
Okay, but like, think about this. Like, I remember a big deal in Cleveland was when the minor league hockey team won the championship.
That's a little bit sad, though.
Daniel, that's what it's all about. Lake Erie Monsters, now the Cleveland Monsters. Shout out to them.
I didn't know going into the pod that we would be bringing up the Lake Erie Monsters, but, you know, things
Daniel,
happen.
I mean, that's the beauty of this. Like, every show's an adventure, you know?
Yeah, we end up wherever, you know? We have a plan, but that plan doesn't usually hold true. So, yeah, this bracket has been crazy. This March Madness has been crazy. Loyola Chicago going all the way to the Final Four. They have a chance to win it all. They're a great team. They really are really good. Shout out to our boy Clayton Custer.
And
really, really great point guard. Named to the AP All-American honorable mention list, which is very impressive for a mid-major guy. But that whole team could really play. They hit big shot after big shot. They play really good defense. And they just crush Kansas State to go to the Final Four.
And one really cool thing about Loyola Chicago is that, if I remember correctly, they're the team that started off the madness, right?
Yeah.
On the first day.
That first Thursday.
Dante Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the biggest shot. Like, I remember watching it. I was in disbelief that, like, it actually went in.
It actually went in.
And, like, and then, sorry, I'm jumping around. We're good at that. But, like,
the best.
Now who they are playing, we are the best at that and at podcasting. And the cool thing is, right now they're playing University of Michigan. Not now, but over the weekend.
Saturday
in Michigan. I couldn't believe that shot by Poole.
Oh, man. That hurt my bracket, not going to lie. I had Houston winning that one. Whatever. It was a close game.
Daniel, never go against Michigan.
Never go against Michigan? But what if they don't win? Like, what if someone had Loyola Chicago over Michigan?
I'd call them crazy.
Really? I think Loyola Chicago can do it.
I mean, okay, if Sister Jean...
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Sister Jean.
Whoa. We didn't plan that. That just...
No, I think we did. Right at like 4 minutes and 12 seconds, we're going to say that.
Yeah,
no.
Shout out to Sister Jean.
That was not planned.
Wow. This is raw.
This is raw.
Wow. We're shocked.
Let's high five. Did we do that already?
No, we didn't yet. Nice.
Okay. So, if Sister Jean didn't have them getting past the Sweet 16, I don't think anyone should have.
For our listeners out there, I just want to point out now that I had them going to the Elite Eight.
And just for our listeners out there, I had them going to the Sweet 16. Okay.
But the Elite Eight's farther. But I didn't have them going to the Final Four. I didn't have that extra push. But to be fair, I thought they would be playing Arizona, not Kansas State.
Daniel, wait. Before you take all that credit, just remember that you didn't get the Michigan-Houston call right.
That's true, but it was a buzzer beater. And if the guy hits free throws, it's the free throws. Houston wins that game. We're not talking about Michigan right now.
You know what I love, Daniel? Like, after a guy like Poole, let's check out his first name. Let's give him the respect.
His first name is Jordan.
I got Mr. Google to my right.
It's definitely Jordan.
So with Jordan Poole, it's really cool. Like, after the game, what?
That was rhyming.
Poole is cool.
Yeah.
If you don't like him, you're a fool. Oh my God.
Everyone just turned off the podcast.
Why? Because that was fire?
It was too fire and also a little bit cringy, but in a good way.
No, it was great.
It was great.
But that's
not cringy.
Okay,
not cringy. Corny.
Check out my mixtape dropping. I'm kidding.
It's on SoundCloud.
Stock and Chuff
mixtape. Fire stuff.
Okay, kidding.
But it
back
could.
To it.
It would be.
No, I'm going right to iTunes.
Right to iTunes.
So, what was I saying? Oh, the cool thing
about basketball.
Is, right. The cool thing is with like a guy like Jordan Poole hitting that big of a shot, you really get to see into the personalities of these guys. Like, I remember Beeline after the game, just being like, we knew Jordan could hit a shot like that, and you should see like how much swagger he has walking around. And then after that, almost an exact video went viral of him doing that in high school. Did you see that?
It's in people's blood.
And it's just really, really cool to... I mean, that's what I love about March Madness, that you can really... There's these amazing storylines that come out, and it really gives a certain appreciation for the game and how hard these guys work.
I want to go back to the biggest upset in college basketball history for a little bit, when UNBC beat Virginia by 20. Virginia hadn't given up more than 70 points all year. And this was to a UMBC team that on January 21st lost 83-39 to Albany. The Albany Great Danes beat UMBC 83-39. And then UMBC goes out there, wins their conference tournament in an upset against Vermont on Javis Lyle's three-pointer.
How do you know that?
I saw it. And then goes and plays Virginia, the number one team in the country. They lost two games all year against West Virginia and against Virginia Tech. They hadn't lost a game to anyone without a Virginia in their name. And then UMBC just whoops them. They score 53 on them in the second half. Virginia gives up 52 a game.
Daniel, before I ask you the obvious question, and we're Terrapins. We've stated that before.
Go Terps.
Maryland played UMBC, and we beat them 66-45.
Yes, we did. So are we 41 points better than Virginia?
I mean, oh, what law is that? Transitive property?
The transitive property.
Let's go.
Boom. Freshman year math. Yes.
It's really important to state the priorities of our show. Education.
Education. Stay in school, kids.
Just, you could guess, Daniel knows all the stuff about college basketball from staying in school.
Staying in school is very important to that, yeah.
Is this where they teach you all
this? This is where they teach everything. You know, if you don't stay in school, I don't know if you can know sports. Hot take.
Hot take. Stay tuned for the hot take later in the show.
Hot take.
So, as I was saying, Daniel, I want to ask the obvious question.
Hit me with it.
This has never happened until now.
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen? How does a UMBC team that lost 83-39 to Albany?
Hey, but they got into the 30s. I remember one time when I was playing a high school game.
This isn't the first quarter Houston Rockets. Okay?
Yeah. But they got into the 30s. One time in high school, my team, I didn't play that much that year, but I came in like fourth quarter. That's okay.
Makes for a better story.
It makes for a much better story because we were down by 40. That's not true. Daniel. Wait, no. I started that game. Shoot.
Daniel, wait. But let's say you didn't.
Yeah.
We're talking about the story.
Right.
You made it.
I made it.
I got a podcast.
UMD. Yeah. This is the dream. For real, though. Like, I'm not even like being... This is awesome.
And thanks for coming along for the ride.
Yeah.
Really, we couldn't do this without our fans.
We couldn't. I mean, we could, but no one would listen, and it would be much less. It would just be us talking to our phone, our microphones also.
Which happens a lot.
Like,
yeah. Okay.
But back to the story.
Yeah.
We were down like 70-27. We were outmatched in every way, but I was so happy when we made it to 30. It was 71-30 the final, but we made it to 30. And you know?
What's so significant about the number 30?
As did UMBC in that game against Albany.
Okay. Let's roll with that.
Yeah. It's a good story.
And you know the interesting thing in my eyes? It's really interesting how they then go and lose to a Kansas State.
Well, you know, it's that, you know, they got hot from behind 3-point line against Virginia, and then they shot like 10% from three against Kansas State. Something like that.
And that just shows like the beauty of sports. Anything can happen.
I'm sorry, they shot 27.3%, and Kansas State shot 8.3% from three that game. But UMBC shot 29.8% from the field.
And
That'll do it. That'll not help you win.
So, Daniel, do I have permission for story time?
Go for it.
Great. So, I just think, like, before we move on, I think it's a great lesson to all of our high school sports athletes, our friends, that it just shows that really anything can happen. I know, like, a lot of small schools play in... district or state tournaments, and they might go up against some huge powerhouses. This just shows that anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. I think it's really motivating to see that. That's why you play the game.
Yep.
You know?
That's what it's all about. And the thing is, with UMBC, they shot 50% from three against Virginia. Virginia shot 4 for 22 from three.
Sounds like my average from the free throw line.
Whoa! Which one? Both aren't that great, I guess.
What?
Both aren't that great.
Yeah, I was taking a shot at myself.
Nice, nice.
Oh, did I say free throw? I meant three-pointer.
That's not bad. Like, no, 12 for 24 from three.
Daniel, come on.
Like, that's pretty good.
You haven't seen me ball in a while, right?
Yeah, you gotta bounce back. That's what it's all about.
I wish.
Yeah. You know, like, just get some shots up.
I can't. Right. Why we gotta go there?
We don't have to go there.
We're doing something fun.
Let's return back to the pod.
Okay. Maybe the listeners will hear more about that. I have a herniated disc and we're working through it.
Hey.
If you have any questions about your fantasy guys' injuries and maybe their prognosis, I'm in the business school, so I'm not the guy to ask, but I'm going to tell you I am the guy to ask.
He is the guy to ask.
Yeah, so, like, come to me. You know where to reach us at Sock and Shelf Pod on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep, yep. But yeah, like, UMBC got hot, then they got cold. You know, law of averages, you know, you return to how good you are, and they're a good team. They're not a great team, but their best player, Jairus Lyle, shot 9 for 11 from the field in that game. And the thing about Virginia is they're a great team. Despite this monumental historic upset, they are a great basketball team. They had one of the best regular seasons of all time. The best defense in the last 20 years in college basketball. And you can't take away from that. This loss does a little bit where, like, their season's going to be like, oh, they were great, but then they had the biggest upset ever. But this team was really good. They went 17-1, the most wins ever in ACC play, 17 wins. And that's in the best conference. They beat Duke. They beat Carolina, three times, I think. You know, they held a team to 7.5 points. Now, it was Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's terrible. But they held a team to 7.5 points. This team was great. But then they were missing a player, DeAndre Hunter, who I may have said on the last podcast is not such a big deal he's out. It was a big deal that he was out, a really big deal. But they got cold. And they're not a team that can play from behind. They play the slowest tempo. They have the slowest tempo in the country.
Daniel, I agree with you so much because I think so much about sports is the journey and the process. Shout out to everyone from Philly.
Yeah, trust the process. Markel Fultz.
Okay, tangent time.
Tangent time.
We need like a tangent.
We need a tangent. Let me see what I can do. Let's see.
Tangent alert.
Tangent alert. Let's see.
Just give any of them a shot.
There it is.
Tangent alert. Ta-da. Wow, you guys are getting way too much of my vocals today.
Yeah, I like that though. That was good.
I'm really going to step back with that. But I've been really intrigued by the Markel Fultz story all season. Mm-hmm. And I was able to catch a little of his return live. And it was really great to see.
Yeah,
I think
he had a great game.
But regardless of the statistics, because they were definitely there, 10-8-4, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Why don't you stat check me?
I will.
Thank you.
Now, we don't have a stat guy. Again, we're always looking for a stat guy.
Yeah.
If you want to be a stat guy, tweet at us, message us on Facebook.
You know how to reach us.
Yeah, we're there. At Sock and Shop Pod, SOCNSCHOPF.
Not confusing spelling at all.
Not confusing spelling at all. The N kind of throws people off.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what it's about.
Daniel, what was I saying?
You were talking about Markel Fultz.
Right. So, he just has this athleticism to him where you can see it looks like he's so easy for him to get to the basket and really has the ability to facilitate and be a playmaker. And it's really scary to imagine a Fultz. That's all Fultz has done after all he's been through all season. Like, the sky is definitely the limit for him. And it's just really, really cool to see what him, Simmons, and Embiid. It's exciting to see what they'll be able to
do. And Dario Saric and Robert Covington and J.J. Redick.
Isn't Ersan Ilyasova back?
I don't know if he's there still, but I think he might be.
Man, I'm on fire. We really need a stat guy.
We really need a stat guy. And a roster guy.
Ersan Ilyasova on the Sixers.
Boom.
And Daniel?
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Sixers full strength. Fultz is back at a point where he can play 35 minutes, okay?
And which Fultz are we seeing, like, from college, ultra-confident, he's going to take it on you, dunk on you,
no,
and
then we're saying,
pull up from three on you?
Let's call this 70%, that 100, 85.
Okay.
Okay? in 85% faults with Ben Simmons. How do you see them playing together on the court?
Oh, I don't think their roles change that much together. I mean, Fultz will probably be the primary ball hand. I don't know. They're probably
both. It's a good question.
It is a good question. Very nice question, Alan.
Can I tell you my thoughts on the matter?
Brant.
It is the sack and shelf thought.
Yeah.
Imagine this, okay? I'm really into the idea of having a small forward, point forward facilitator, mm-hmm. okay? And I think that has the ability to totally change the dynamic of a team. So I like the idea of a Fultz bringing up the ball, okay? Mm-hmm. And, okay, then you're going to have sets with, like, pick and rolls and him being the main guy in the plays. But I love the scenario with Ben Simmons coming high post to get high the post. Ball.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're basically...
He can create out of there so well. And if he can learn to shoot a 14-footer,
right.
Unstoppable.
And it's not a three-pointer. It's a 14-footer.
14-footer.
It's doable. If Markel Fultz can learn how to do it,
it's a borderline
Simmons
floater.
Can too.
Right.
And I just think that could be such a dynamic offense. With Embiid off the ball, with Redick. Watch out for the Sixers.
And then when they add LeBron...
Yeah, no, we're saying that confidently. LeBron, stay in Cleveland, please.
That's a little bit biased considering your roots.
And the really, I was talking with
Wait, do they have the same record as the Cavs right now? One half a game?
They're half a game back.
Wow. And the Cavs do have LeBron James, and the 76ers do not.
For now.
For now.
I just find it so interesting, like the state of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. I think Toronto, a ton of respect to them because I read a great article by Bleacher Report,
friends of the podcast,
that they went behind the scenes how Dwayne Casey mm-hmm. Met with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in the offseason to really change their whole philosophy. They really sped the way they play the game, shooting more threes, even though DeRozan's a big mid-range and attacking right. basket guy. And it's really
old
cool.
school. Old school.
Can I tell you my
which we love.
Can I tell you my issue, pod. Daniel? I love old school. I'm concerned this is like the 2015 Atlanta Hawks. What year were they? 2016?
2 years ago. 3 years ago?
I don't know. But I just...
2015, 2016.
I can't imagine a LeBron losing to the Raptors. You know?
Right.
No matter the state of the Cavs.
Right. But the thing is, the Raptors have something that they never had in the past.
A bench.
Fred Van Vliet. Not even their whole bench. I mean, yes, their bench, but anchored by Fred Van Vliet.
Fred Van Vliet's going to shock the world.
Boom. Hot take.
Hot take.
I mean, he already has been doing really
well.
No,
you get the pun?
Oh, I do get it. Wichita State Shockers. Shout out to the Wichita State Shockers.
Allen is on fire. We're beast mode.
Beast mode. Hot takes even when we don't plan it.
I know, man. That sock kid is fast on his feet.
Yeah. I think we should go back to March Madness a little bit because...
NBA.
We're coming back to it, but the thing is,
okay.
It's the Final Four.
Okay.
We have to do our little preview. So, Allen... Don't even think about it too much. Ready?
Villanova.
Villanova for the whole thing, but let's go game by game. Thought about it a little too little. Okay?
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Michigan, Loyola, Chicago.
Want or who do I think will win?
Let's go. Who do you want?
Loyola, Chicago.
Agreed.
100%.
Shout out to Clayton Custer. Shout out to Porter Moser, their head coach. Seems like they're running a good program.
Ben Richardson?
Shout out to Ben Richardson. Fun fact, people were talking about Sister Gino a lot, but Ben Richardson... And Clayton Custer were high school teammates in Overland Park, Kansas.
That's
someone unreal. Else is from Overland Park, Kansas, who's famous and good at basketball, but I forgot who. I forgot.
Not me. I'm from Cleveland.
Allen's from Cleveland, everyone. Shout out to Cleveland. Shout out to LeBron. LeBron, if you're listening,
which
you're
is
always,
doubtful,
you're always you're, welcome on the pod.
You're playing against the Hornets right now.
But the thing is, if you're listening, like, you know, like they have a really small...
AirPods,
exactly. If he's wearing AirPods right now, listening to the pod...
Should we bring it up and see if he's wearing them?
If you are...
Maybe he's hiding them in the beard.
Well, they're not. Are they playing? Oh, they're all playing out.
Daniel?
But during timeouts, though. It's fine.
True. Tyron blues
he's
out.
He's having a really good game. He has 24 points, and it's the beginning of the second half.
By the way, we'd like to wish Tyron Lue a quick recovery.
Yes, definitely.
Health priority, and we can't wait to see you back on the sideline, coach.
Yep, definitely.
Daniel, so who do I think is going to win the game? I don't know. I think you gotta say that Michigan is the team that's gonna win.
But don't agree.
Get the button.
Go.
I'm just going with Loyola Chicago.
Loyola Chicago.
I just want them.
I want them, and I think they'll win. What about Villanova Kansas? The Blue Blood battle.
Nova.
Blue Blood.
Boo Bobby Boop.
Yes. By the way, we didn't really talk about that side, but that went really chalk. Basically all top seeds winning.
Except Marshall, who I have going deep.
Marshall. Hey, we called it upset on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Oh, they won the first
game? They won the first game, yeah.
Oh, my bad. Wichita State. So, I really like Villanova.
I like them too.
I think they are awesome. Sometimes...
If our listeners remember, we did pick them to win the national championship.
And we are still feeling...
We're still...
Great about
it. Yeah, they've done nothing to show that they're not going to win.
So, because I really want to talk about NBA and you're not letting me...
championship game.
1 second.
We have one more game.
1 second. I want to ask an NBA question, okay? How come a guy like Jalen Brunson,
mm-hmm.
Great in college...
Right.
Awesome. Is not projected to be a great NBA player? I think from mock drafts I've looked at, they project him late first round.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because the NBA looks for different things than just basketball ability and necessary basketball IQ. Obviously, you need a very high basketball IQ to be in the NBA, but I was just actually talking about this over the weekend, and I was like, why Jalen Brunson, his floor is so high. And by that, I mean, I don't necessarily think he's going to be a superstar, but he could be. I don't think people project him as a superstar, but like, what's he at worst? A very solid backup point guard?
And in my eyes, he's exactly what you want from a backup point guard.
Right.
Someone that can score, most importantly, very smart out there, a big facilitator.
Whoa. And,
what?
Whoa. Sorry, I just saw something. Justin Jackson would declare for NBA draft higher agent. What?
That means he can't come back?
It means he can't come back. Whoa.
Justin Jackson is a college basketball player at the University of Maryland.
I've seen him around campus sometimes. The players sometimes get rides in these little golf carts.
Man, I got to get myself one of those.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, try for the squad. Like, you don't actually have to, like, just, like, walk in there, put your name on the list, and, like... Like, put, like, a $5 bill in there. You can pay the coaches. You can't pay the players. You can pay the coaches, though.
I wish I had a clever comeback to that, but I got nothing.
But just, you know, get yourself a cart, man.
You know what? I might do it.
Just go.
I'm not going to do it.
Just go for it.
I'm scared.
And
we don't believe in fear on the pod.
No fear. Chasing dreams. No fear.
I just don't think that is a dream of mine.
Hey, worth a shot, though. But yeah. Justin Jackson would declare for the NBA draft. I was searching up NBA Mock Draft 2018 to try to find where some people had Brunson, and this news just hit me in the face. Justin Jackson,
okay? Where
I'm recovering. We didn't even get to watch him this year, you know?
He had an injury for a majority of the season.
Shoulder injury. Torn labrum. But, yeah. Wow. That's pretty shocking. I thought he would come back. You know? Best of luck to Justin Jackson.
And at the end of the day, like, we on the pod believe every person, like we were just saying, go live your dreams. If this is what you feel is the best move for you and your family,
right?
Go ahead. We support you, and best of luck.
But at the same time, we really would have liked to see you there, Justin.
I would have loved to see Justin Jackson.
So, like, we're not mad, and we're not disappointed. We're not going to give that line, but at the same time, we're a little disappointed.
So, Daniel.
Wait, we're still talking about Brunson, right?
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
He's such a good player. He wins. And, like, that's a cliche. Like, obviously, you can be a winner. You can come off the bench and, like, whatever, not do much. But, like, he's the guy, and he wins games.
In
high school, he won state championships. As a freshman at Villanova, he was a key piece on a national champion. This year, they're the favorites now to win the national championship. He's been a one seed twice, a two seed once, and the one time he was a two seed, they won the national title.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this guy wins, and I'm not just saying it as a cliche, like, he's the one causing it. He doesn't turn the ball over, he scores the ball, you know, for the amount of possessions he takes up, he gets a lot of assists. So, like, I don't see why an NBA team, like, wouldn't, like, he might not have as much upside as a guy like, Mikal Bridges, his teammate, or a guy like Robert Williams. Robert Williams is a great foil for him.
Where does Robert Williams go to school?
Robert Williams is at Texas Tech. Sorry, Texas A&M. Sorry, different Texas on my mind. Texas A&M, and he's a high-flying dunk guy. He had two crazy windmills to end each of the first two rounds, their win against Providence and their win against North Carolina. Ridiculous windmills. This dude, 6'10", jumps out of the gym. block shots all over the place. Like, in college, like, he averaged, like, 11 points, 6 rebounds, I think, and, like, a few, like, maybe a block or two. Like, but the NBA is looking for those athletes that could take their game to the next level. He's very raw. But if they were looking for, like, a guy, like, if you're, like, if guys in college were drafting, Jalen Brunson would be a top 3 pick.
Yeah.
So, it's just looking for different things, and that's what it's about. I, you know, if I were an NBA GM, and I would look for, I wouldn't draft Brunson so high necessarily, but I would draft him mid-first round. Yeah. Like, instead of one of those, like, necessarily a guy from Europe who's a project.
Right.
Who I not know as much about. I know Brunson can come in there, and if need be, he can run my offense. I know if need be, he can play solid defense.
And you feel good about it.
Right. And he's a good athlete. I don't know what people are saying. Like, he's... I think he could be a great pro.
Yeah, I think it should be his agent.
Maybe. Hey, if Jalen's listening, if anyone knows Jalen, you know, I'm only a freshman in college, but, hey, when opportunity knocks, you got to open the door.
And then, Daniel, before we wrap up March Madness, why don't you share your prediction of who your champions will be? Let's say a Loyola Chicago.
Villanova. Well, I love both these teams. I've been rooting for both of them to get all to go far. I really like the way they play. I mean, I like their players, the individuals on the team, the Clayton Custers, the Jalen Brunsons. But
what a name, by the way.
Clayton Custer's a legendary name.
What a legend.
Yeah. If anyone knows Clayton Custer, tell him to listen to the pod. I think you'd enjoy it.
We've tweeted at him.
We tweeted at him a few times.
Many times.
It hasn't worked yet, but you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Maybe since we started the
maybe,
pod.
Maybe. No, nope.
Oh, Donald's All-American Games.
Yeah. I taped that, so please don't tell me what's going on.
Okay. And Daniel.
I don't know who I'd be rooting for. I like both these. I like the way they move the ball on offense. It's like the way... The vibes of these teams. It's just fun to watch them play. I think I would have to say, I think Villanova's going to win. But when it comes down to it, I'll probably be rooting. I don't know. I'll probably be rooting for Loyola Chicago.
The Ramblers.
Just because it's awesome. And they're a good team.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like one of those like, oh, like this team like was bad the whole year and then like, you know, got hot. This team, if they win the whole thing, they're a 34-5 team.
Wow. That's nice.
But no disrespect to Villanova.
And we'd like to thank the NCAA, all the athletes, for giving us such an amazing tournament.
Yep.
We can't see how it's going to wrap up. Daniel, I know, actually today it felt like it a little bit. Maybe...
You smell it? You smell it in the air?
Yeah. What do we smell?
It's baseball season.
It's baseball season.
It's baseball time.
Spring training games, I think, have wrapped up. I think everyone has an off day tomorrow.
Yeah. And
but
no, tomorrow, off day.
Oh, tomorrow?
Tomorrow is opening day.
Today was Tuesday for a minute.
Today is Wednesday.
I have to recheck what my homework assignments are.
Today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday.
Tomorrow is opening day. It's in the air.
Whew. Wow, I can't wait.
Baseball season.
What?
Go Yankees. No bias here.
Go Tribe. I think that... This should be an amazing, amazing baseball season.
Oh, man.
Daniel, what are you most excited for?
The Yankees.
Why?
The Smash Bros. The Bash Bros. Yeah. And, like, it's not even like people are like, oh, Stanton and Judge. There's, like, 6 of them.
Sanchez.
He hit a ball clear out of the stadium in spring training. It's like nothing. Whatever. He hit the cover off a ball. He hit the literal cover off the baseball. The baseball broke.
That's crazy.
Didi Gregorius, who has the most homers from a shortstop in Yankees history.
Are you kidding?
Last year. Well, not all time. Last year. Not career. He's played like 2 years.
Yeah. I'm like, what about Jeter?
No. Just last year. He had 25 last year. Greg Bird, who just suffered an injury. You know, yeah. Shout out to Greg Bird. Hope he gets back soon. Yeah. Feels better. He's a lefty, and we play at Yankee Stadium.
310?
314.
314.
Short porch. So, like, this whole team can mash. And
they got the pitching.
The best bullpen in the major leagues, arguably. Really?
What do you say about the Indians?
No. The Yankees. Let me run through it. Okay. Say our starter only goes 5 innings, right? Then we throw Tommy Canley at you in the 6th. Guy throws 97.
Who? Wasn't he the vice president nominee, Tim Kaine?
No, that's Tim Kaine. This is why we don't have a politics.
So, shifting to politics. We're kidding.
Ooh. I got scared a little bit there. I don't know what I'm talking about with that. So I was like, shoot.
We stick to what we know.
Yeah, stick to sports. But not in like a political way. Not like avoiding politics, but just more like sticking to what we're better at.
Yeah,
and not like in a way that like, I mean, stick to sports is a very, you know, heated, you know, kind of controversial statement. I'm not saying that people in sports should only stick to sports. I'm saying that for us personally, it's a personal choice to stick to sports.
And
because we don't really feel so comfortable and confident talking about politics.
Right. And I think it's important to recognize, though, that everything has its time and place.
Right.
You know? And I think for this hour, the sports time.
Sports time. We all need sports time.
Sock and Shop sports time.
Sock and Shop sports,
sports time. Sports time. Sock and Shop.
That's, we're not, I don't think we're going to change the name. I like Sock and Shop Pod.
I do too.
It flows very nicely.
It flows.
Yeah. But...
So, Tim Kaine, you were saying.
Tommy Kaneley.
Man,
and awesome. Then in the seventh, we throw at you David Robertson, former closer. Then we throw in the eighth, we throw at you Dylan Betances. The guy throws 100
miles per hour. I love Dylan Betances.
He makes Aaron Judge look small-ish. The dude's 6'8". And then, in the ninth, because like we want to take it easy on you, we just throw Rodus Chapman up there. He only throws like 103. So all those That's guys awesome. Throw, like three of them throw upper 90s, one of them like low 90s with a lot of movement.
And... Daniel, just to help you out with your Yankees mm-hmm. argument real quick, I think you don't often see teams be that well-rounded, where they right. have such a powerful... And you know what? When I think of the Yankees, I think of power. I think of heat. Just yeah. think of how many guys can hit homers. Think about their starting... Severino can
All
throw
them.
So
All
fast.
Can hit homers. All of them.
Right. And the starting pitcher with Severino, he can throw 98. 99?
100?
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the
bullpen. He's 22 years old.
And, wow. And I think the cool thing is the Yankees should be a fun team to watch. Mm-hmm. It's okay if I talk a little Tribe for a minute?
Go Tribe. Not like go Tribe, like go like I'm rooting for the Tribe. No, I'm rooting for the Yankees. But I'm saying go.
No,
go
Daniel, everyone understood that you're jumping on the Indians bandwagon. Don't worry. So,
true.
As
no,
I
no.
was saying.
Oh, no.
as I was saying, it's a really interesting season for the Indians. I think that the past couple years, whether it was losing in Game 7 or the tough loss in the series to the Yankees last year, it's been weird because I think from a player personnel perspective, we've done everything we could. It's just kind of now delivering in the biggest moments. And I think listening to the quotes and press conferences of the Indians players, I think they get that it's a process, it's a journey, it's a mindset. Yes, there are 162 games in a season, but I think the very important thing is the way you approach every single game.
Right.
Game by game, treat it the same, that's how you deliver.
That's how you bounce back.
100%.
And this team, like, this is a really good team. They had a 21 game winning streak last? 23? 22. 22
All the Taylor guys. Swift shout-outs,
right, right. Shout-out to Taylor Swift. Big fans.
Yeah. We could use an intro song.
Ours
is great.
We like our intro song. We love our intro song. By the way, shout-out to Anchor.
Wow. Can I take a second?
Go.
We really like to thank Anchor. For those that don't know, everyone is going to know because Anchor is that great. They are a online and... application.
Right, it's an app.
It's an app that makes it so easy for you to make a podcast where just a few presses of the button, your podcast can be in the iTunes store.
Right.
Could be anywhere. It could be a link you could send around. It's in the Google store too.
Mm-hmm.
And really thank you to them for making our dreams a reality. And they also have supplied us with amazing jingles. And
should we play it?
Yeah, let's play our intro.
This is it. Oh, shoot, man. My sound was off.
Okay, welcome to the Sock and Shelf Pod.
I think we did that already, but wow.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's
cool. And they also provide our little transition. Tangent. So, we like to really thank Anchor, not just for the sound, but also for making it so easy for us to get our podcast out there. And for, we wanted to do this for a while, and when we found Anchor, we knew it was the right time.
Yeah.
And so we'd really like to give a shout out to Anchor. Thank you, Anchor.
Let's
bounce back with some MLB.
We're talking about the Tribe.
Tribe by the Tribe. And
I think the great thing is so many of the key pieces are still there.
Mm-hmm. Lindor.
Lindor. Kipnis. Very underrated, one of the best players in the league. Under the radar MVP candidate, Jose Ramirez.
Yep.
And great pitching staff with Kluber, Carrasco, Trevor Bauer. Watch out for him. And And I think for the first time, they have, like, some depth, too.
Yeah.
I know Salazar's working through a little bit of an injury. He might come out of the bullpen. But they have a young guy in Mike Clevenger. Mm-hmm. They have Josh Tomlin, one of the better control pitchers in the league. And also, I saw actually a really cool story. They sent Alexi Agonda, former Rangers...
Alexi
Agondo. He was with us for spring training. Had a great spring training. And they sent
He's
him
very
down.
Old, right?
Yeah, but he's good.
Yeah.
He looked good. I'll go 37 or 38.
I think 39. You know, I'm going to go 40. I'm going to say 40. 34.
Right. We're sorry.
Sorry, Alexi.
No, it's like a praise, like a fine wine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But as I was saying, they actually sent him down to AAA to stretch him out to be a starter.
That's great.
So I think the Indians have a really good chance to have...
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely World Series contender.
Yeah. I think we should just go through the divisions and just talk about some teams and talk about who we like.
Okay.
So let's just start in the AL East. I like the Yankees. Do you have any
problems I'll there? Just give a quick shout out to Boston. I think
they are a good
definitely
team.
A threat in the AL East.
Yeah, for sure.
Daniel, I'm going to argue fortunately. I think from a non-biased, what's that word when you're not a fan of the Red Sox or the Yankees? Whatever, I'm going to say as an MLB fan, okay?
Right.
I love when the Yankees, I was going to say Celtics, Yankees, Red Sox, rivalry is at an all-time high, and I really think both teams have a lot of talent. Daniel.
Yeah, I hear that.
The Red Sox have Chris Sale,
yeah.
Correct. David Price.
Yeah, but Sale is the guy. He was almost unhittable last year. At least for the first half of last year.
And it's
he was almost unhittable.
It's always interesting as an Indians fan. Sale's one of these guys who played for a White Sox team that wasn't always the best. But as an Indians fan, we saw him many times a year, and this guy was great, and I'm happy for him that he finally gets to be in a big market, you know, where you can really see how great he is. So
he can kind of grow into his star a little bit, because he's so talented. By the way, we were talking about some March Madness upsets. Chris Sale went to FGCU.
Get out.
Yeah, a few years ago, that was Dunk City.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Georgetown that year.
I don't know.
That was big. So
was that Otto Porter's year? Or no, that was later. No, Otto Porter was a long time ago.
No, that was Otto Porter, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, Red Sox or Yankees? That's my prediction.
Red Sox or Yankees? I think these things will be going back and forth
Daniel,
all year. I like that.
Can we play a fun game?
Let's play a fun game.
Let's, just for the AL East, we'll do this, okay?
Yeah.
Let's go through the five teams and say a throwback name from our childhood.
Oh, I love it. Let's do all 30. Let's go.
Can I start? Baltimore. Okay, we'd like to introduce second baseman Brian Roberts.
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, Red Sox, I'm going to hit you with Trot Nixon.
Former Indian.
Trot Nixon. Okay, let's go. You can do a Yankees one. Do you want me to do the Yankees one?
Give me one. No, I got it. Francisco Cervelli.
Nice. But that's not how it's called.
No,
he has the
funny.
Biggest batting helmet in the game.
But that was funny, though.
That was funny. Okay, Rays. Scott Kazmir.
Wow, former Indian too.
Yeah.
Actually, shout out, I think, to Mickey Callaway. Oh,
whoa.
He left. He's a manager somewhere.
Mickey Callaway?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Where's he a manager? Mets?
Mets, he's a manager of the Mets.
Wow, shout out to Mickey Callaway, one of the better pitching coaches, I'm going on the line, in MLB history.
Wow.
This guy turned around so many... pitchers that had some rough points, and I think one of them was Scott Kazmir, who used to be great, had a rough period, now he's very good again. And I also think he turned around Carlos Carrasco. He helped Kluber become the pitcher he is today, and very happy for him and the Mets, and I wish nothing but the best for Mickey Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blue Jays.
You're up.
I mean, if you can help me out if you want.
Let me see. Blue Jays. Yeah. Carlos Delgado.
Wow.
That dude was unstoppable in backyard baseball. Oh, my God. That was a lot of fun.
That was great.
Hey, and if our listeners have any names for us, tweet at us. You know, we love to to hear what you guys have to think, and we really, really enjoy hearing throwback baseball names.
100%. Can we do it for the Central, too?
Yeah, no, we're going to do it for all of them, but let's talk about the Central. We touched on the Indians.
Okay. So, Minnesota had a very surprising season last
until they ran into the Yankees in the wild card game. Boom.
By the way, that Brian Dozier home run to lead it off.
That was Dozier, yeah.
That was
depressing. But then, awesome. Didi Gregorius came in and saved the day. The Twins had the biggest turnaround, probably in MLB history. The worst team in the league to a wild card team.
Yeah, and that's why also I love the new wild card rule. That was the only reason they made it, right? They were the away team. And shout out to Rob Manfred. Or that was actually Bud Selig.
I think it was Selig, yeah.
Yeah, that's been for a while now. That's made baseball so much more exciting. I would expect another really good season from the Twins.
If you look at their outfield, they got Buxton, Byron Buxton. I think he got around the bases once in like 14 seconds.
He has wheels.
Wheels for days. Months.
You want to hear story time?
Sure.
So back in my day, I used to be a pretty good high school baseball player.
There we go.
I did not have wheels like Byron Buxton.
I don't think most have wheels like Byron Buxton.
I once hit a home run. Yeah, over a fence. Big deal.
Boom.
One of my good buddies told me, he was actually submitted a question, going to get a shout out later in the show.
Nice.
By the time I got to home plate, no one cared anymore.
That's great. Because
it took that long. Tip to all high school baseball players, run a little faster than you think.
But at the same time, I also played high school baseball. I never had the chance to hit a homer. Soak it in. You know what?
Yeah, so
take a minute and a half to round the bases. Use it a homer. You're in high school. That doesn't happen to most people. Take a good 2 minutes.
Great.
People should be able to, acknowledge the fact that you had a home run. Don't rush through it. Maybe one way at second base, like, put your hands in the air and kind of, like, you know, do a little celebration. I think that's what I would do.
I would stop right before. I'm saying this like I would, but I finished high school. But I would
go back in time.
Stop like when I'm almost home and wait till all of my teammates came around home plate.
No, this is the way to win World Series.
You guys want this run? I'm not touching home plate until you guys all go crazy.
And like throw the batting. I'm like, guys, get it.
Yeah. And another interesting team, the Central, is the Royals. They lost Eric Hosmer.
That's a big loss for them.
The
team leader.
Padres. And he's one of the better players in the league. And in the Royals, it's actually really interesting that they won the World Series a few years ago.
They won the World Series a few years ago, yeah.
And it seemed like those were a bunch of guys that were homebred. And you'd think that they would be in the... a team that could put together a... I'll call it not a dynasty, but consecutive
playoffs. Yeah, they had a young core.
Right, but now looking at their roster, a lot of those names are gone.
Yeah, I mean, they still have, Salvador Perez. They still have Mike Moustakas.
Calvin Herrera.
I don't think that's one of them, but...
I don't know, he's great, though. I just want to give him a shout out.
A guy I've been hearing a lot about is Whit Merrifield, infielder.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've not heard much about him.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard that much about him either, but he's pretty highly in fantasy baseball.
Jorge.
He's a second baseman outfielder. Last year he had .288, had 19 homers, 78 ribbies.
And
RBIs for those. And also 34 stolen bases. Like, very solid season.
And it looks like, I actually didn't know Jorge Soler played for them last year, but he's a really good player.
Yeah, very talented. Soler. He's young, still a little inconsistent, but he's very talented. So the Royals could be a team that kind of bounces back this year, but I would look for the Indians to control the division and the Twins to kind of be there also.
Maybe make another wild card run.
I want to give a little shout out to Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera had his worst year ever last year, but he battled some injuries, but he's one of the best hitters of the generation.
And Indians fan again. He is such a good hitter. I remember as an Indians fan, you legitimately think there's a chance he hits it out of the park every time he's up.
Right. And
story time. I remember where one game, pretty sure this is how it went down. Like, I was a little bit late. I know, shocking. but I'm walking into the park, top of the first, and you're like, okay, hopefully it's 0-0, whatever. Nah, Miguel Cabrera just hit it out of the park.
Right.
That's the definition of a vibe killer.
I mean, this guy in 2012 won the Triple Crown.
And by the way, it's crazy you say
so. And then 2 years later, led the MLB in doubles. And 2 years ago, he hit .316. 3 years ago, he hit .338 and had an on-base percentage of .440.
Was he a Triple Crown?
He was a Triple Crown in 2012, yeah.
Probably the last... Was he the most recent guy
to do it? Most recent one to do it, yeah.
Wow. And that is just unbelievable because it's putting together so many baseball intangibles characteristics. He got contact. He got clutch with RBI. I think RBI is clutch and homer power.
He also led the league in slugging and OPS. So, like... He also led the AL in grounding into double plays. So,
but hey.
Hey, it happens. When you're getting the triple crown, you can have a little bit of leeway.
I agree.
But I think he'll bounce back in a big way. I drafted him in fantasy. And, you know, I'm looking for a great thing. He's only 34 years old. Still kind of the tail end of his prime. And I think he'll bounce back. So now we're going to do...
Throwback guys. You got it. You can start off Black Sox.
Scott Podsednik.
Oh my God, yes. Daniel. You legend. Jermaine Dye. Okay.
Fine. Jermaine Dye was born on February 29th, Leap Day.
So really?
He's only 10 years old
now. So are you predicting a Jermaine Dye comeback?
Hey, you know, he has 8 years or so till he can actually, you know, be drafted.
And tangent time. Ta da!
Wait.
Boom. Yes. Clutch. Daniel, why don't you tell everyone about Vladimir Guerrero.
Which one?
Both.
Vladimir Guerrero.
What happened last night?
Oh, that was awesome. So, Vladimir Guerrero, senior, MLB, is he a Hall of Famer yet? Yeah, I think he is. MLB Hall of Famer, or would be soon Hall of Famer. He'd swing at anything. Legend for the Expos, the Angels, and a few other teams. He played for the Orioles for a little bit. One of the best hitters of all time. His son, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's one of the best prospects in baseball.
Last night, I know he was that good.
Yeah, no, he's really, really good. He's probably, I think he'll make the big squad. He's like 19 though. I don't know, he's very young.
After that, how do you not?
So last night, he,
you know what?
Last night he hit a walk-off homer. He's ranked as the third best prospect right now. How old is he? He's 19.
We're older than
so
him.
So you are older than him. I am slightly... Oh, no, we're both older than him. He's born in 99.
Wow. Crazy.
So, yeah. I don't know if he's going to start the year in the majors, but he had a walk-off homer last night in Montreal where his father started his career, and it was awesome.
Full circle. And, Daniel, I'm going to try and retweet that video for all of our listeners where they could check it. Ooh. That is... Oh, get out.
Oh, man. Great side work. By side.
MLB, wow.
MLB does good things.
At
the adding ourselves. I like it.
Good call. I'm just going to retweet it.
Good. Nice.
So, for those of our fans that have not had the chance to check it out.
It's amazing.
We just retweeted it.
And the guy can flat out play. I think he'll be a star for years to come.
I hope so.
Ooh.
And Daniel.
What's he going? No, Alan, you're up.
Ready? Indians.
I think I know what he's going to say.
There's so many ways to go.
You know, I have it locked into my head. I'll tell you if I have the prediction.
No, what's that guy's name? Josh Barfield.
Nah, that wasn't. I thought he was going to say Kenny Lofton.
I was going to say Jason Michaels, but
that's
whatever.
Good. Oh, that's a great one. Okay, Tigers.
Maglio Ordóñez. That's just a fun one.
Maglio Ordóñez, fine. You'll get that one.
I like Brandon Inge, too.
Brandon Inge is great. Thank you. Wait.
Placido Polanco.
That's the best one of all three. It's definitely the best one. Okay, let's go Royals.
I got it.
Did you forget?
I'm confusing. Not David DeLucci. He's one of their best players, but lefty. I got it.
David DeJesus. Let's go.
Yes. Man.
Like, I do one for the Twins?
Yeah.
Michael Kadire.
Nick Punta, but yeah, you do your
Nick Punta's the classic one for the Twins, though.
Fine.
We've already had this discussion like four times. I know. Ourselves. Okay, let's move on to the AL West. Astros. They're really good. They won the World Series last year. And then they
added Garrett Cole. Let's skip the Astros.
Yeah, let's skip the Astros.
Astros. Forget
the Astros. They're good. They're good.
They're great.
They have a guy named Altuve. They have a guy named Correa. They have a guy named Springer. They're all really good at baseball.
And
they also have a pitcher named Justin Verlander. And a pitcher named Dallas Keuchel. And a pitcher named Garrett Cole. And they're really good. And they beat the Yankees. And I'm mad about it.
You know the crazy thing about the Astros?
What?
He's actually starting in the minors.
Oh.
But they have a young stud up and coming named Kyle Tucker.
Boom.
Watch out.
Heard it here first.
It's crazy where you see a World Series team having one of the best young prospects in the league.
Right.
Watch out. And also, Daniel, as we're going through the MLB, I think the Astros are a great time for me to throw this idea out there. One thing I want so bad from this MLB season, for the MLB to promote the players showing their personality.
Yeah.
I remember the World Baseball Classic last year. Mm-hmm. Was unbelievable.
Yeah,
the way these guys are celebrating, reacting. Let us see those bat flips.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and I think one reason I'm thinking about this now, because I think the Astros play the game with such passion and love. A guy like Corey Springer.
Man. Corey Springer? George Springer.
George, who's Corey?
You're thinking Corey Seager.
George Springer, like
Corey Seager is on the Dodgers, the shortstop.
His brother's on the Mariners.
Yeah, Kyle.
Great. But I really hope that is a something that happens this year.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to see Frankie Lindor smile.
He has a very nice smile.
Yeah,
but I think the thing with we also left out Alex Bregman, their young third baseman. This team is stacked top to bottom, and it would be very tough to stop them. I don't see anyone in the AL West stopping them. There is one team in the AL that could stop them. It's the Yankees.
Indians.
Yankees.
And let's give out a shout-out to the Shohei Ohtani Angels.
You mean the Mike Trout Angels, the best player in baseball, on fast track to being one of the top 10 players of all time?
Shohei Ohtani.
Mike Trout.
Daniel, I have a quick thought for you, okay?
Yes.
Do you think we should speed up, since we're live, guys?
Yeah.
Do you think we should speed up MLB so we can spend a little bit more time on our fan questions?
I think we should maybe take a short break after we go through, talk about Mike Trout for a minute or so, and then we'll go through the NL a little bit, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go right into our fan questions and a hot take.
Love it.
Boom. So I think Mike Trout's really good at baseball.
And by the way, one reason the Sock and Shelf pod is so great, how many places do you get to see behind the scenes like this?
Yeah, we just planned out our pod on air.
Daniel, you got me going again.
Let's go.
Tangent. Ta-da!
Wait. Boom.
How awesome was that Mookie Betts?
Oh, that was awesome.
Spring training baseball, Mookie Betts.
He's talking in the outfield. I love it.
Getting interviewed by ESPN, and the ball gets hit over his head. And mid-play, he's like, I'm not going to catch this one, boys.
The quote is, I ain't going to get this one, boys. And you hear him going, ah! And it's awesome.
So cool. Shout out to ESPN. And
it's raw. It's raw, just like the Sock and Shelf pod.
Yeah, I wish that could be more of a thing during regular season, but
I don't think it's gonna
happen. I don't know if I want that.
Yeah. But like, the idea is great. The idea behind it is great.
100%.
Mike Trout's really good. I hope the team gets to the playoffs this year, because Mike Trout is really good for baseball, because he's the best.
He's unbelievable.
All right. So now we also Oakland, Seattle, and Texas are in that division. So let's just quickly AL MVP.
LeBron.
LeBron. Okay. Nice. Who else?
I think gotta go Trout.
Trout?
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Trout with Judge and Stanton 2 and 3. Boom.
Okay. With Lindor and Ramirez.
And then who do you think Rookie of the Year will be? I don't know if you know enough about the rookies.
You know what? Let's Google top rookies. Yeah. Because top rookies, MLB 28. One thing is, maybe they're guys that came up at the end of last year.
I think it might be a Red Sox, which bothers me.
Okay. We'd like to think MLB.com.
Maybe Shohei Ohtani. I don't think so. Oh, this is a good article.
That'd be awesome if Francisco Mejia, I think his name's pronounced.
Of the Indians?
Of the Indians. Catcher, third base prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But Gleyber Torres, you think he'll come up early?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is going to be...
I would love it with Gleyber Torres, but I think it might be... Is I don't know if he has... Does,
I'm really excited to see...
Yeah, I'm excited
to see... I mean, I'm not familiar with many of these guys, so I'm really sure excited...
Is Rafael Devers on the Red Sox available to be a... Is he a rookie still? I don't think he's a rookie still. So I would go with him, but I don't think he's a rookie.
I'm excited to see... I'm excited to see... to get more familiar with these new faces.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that.
They're going to burst on the scene. And while we're on the topic of rookies, I'm just going to name my NL Rookie of the Year. I think it'll be Ronald Acuna. The top prospect in baseball right now. He's on the Braves, you know, with that young squad with Dansby Swanson.
What a great name.
That's a great name. But Acuna, he's hit like 450 in the spring training, like four homers. He's been tearing the laces off the ball, and I think he'll get it.
Great. And
oh, I want to quickly do Cy Young.
Yeah.
Cy Young, Luis Severino, no question. Yeah, go Yankees.
Yeah, Corey Kluber, no question.
Boom. Okay, let's do a quick... Let's do throwbacks in the AOS, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with the NL.
Okay.
And some fan questions.
Great.
And then a little hot take.
That sounds awesome, man.
And we'll call it. See? Behind the scenes. Okay. Astros. I don't even have to think about this one. Craig Biggio.
Carlos Lee. Great call.
Oh, very nice. But Carlos Lee for the Cubs.
He was on Houston, though, right?
He was on Houston also.
Great.
Yeah. Wait, no. Carlos Lee. Yes, Carlos Lee. Okay. Miami. Go.
Miami.
Oh, I have a good one.
Wait, Miami? You mean LA?
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Looking at the NL.
No, it's okay. You're excited.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I want someone better than that. Let me know if you got anything.
I got some. I got Troy Gloss.
Love that.
Boom.
Love that.
Yeah. Got one for Oakland. For our listeners, we're not sure what the music is either. If you hear music,
it's great though.
It's very solid.
I love the vibe that it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I don't know if let's just go with we'd like to thank Moneyball for helping us out with this.
You want Hattie? Scott Hatterberg?
Yeah, sure.
Who are you gonna go with?
Giambi.
Jeremy Giambi. Johnny Damon. Nice. Okay, Seattle. Did Scott Spezio play for Seattle?
Wow, I haven't heard that name.
Let me see.
In so long. Well, shout out to Ichiro being back with them, right? Dan's locked in.
Yeah, he did for a few years. He also played for the
High
A's.
High five to that.
Boom.
What Scott a throw it.
Spez.
And shout out to Ichiro being back.
Yeah, all right. Good for him. And now the Rangers. Y'all one?
I guess this isn't it. I'll give you a minute to think about it and try to help us out. Mm-hmm. But just Josh Hamilton on the Rangers.
I like that. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Edison Volquez before he was traded for Josh Hamilton. He didn't do much there, but, you know, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. And then we'll be back and you get to hear our awesome theme music. And we're back. Hope you didn't miss us for too long. You know, we just need to, you know, clear our heads a little bit.
I feel refreshed.
Yeah.
Just feel like we had another spring break.
Another spring break. Boom. 2 minutes. Same thing.
It's all about like how focused you are about relaxing.
Exactly. Focused relaxation. Boom.
Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
Can we trademark that?
Focused relaxation. Yes. That wasn't what I wanted to hit. If you're a sound guy, you want to, you know, help us out, that'd be great.
Please.
Yeah.
You know, you know how to reach us.
Right. At Sock and Shoff Pod. Actually, no. At Sock and Shoff on Twitter or Sock and Shoff Pod on Facebook. Look for the green logo. Maybe our good friend, Alex Gelman.
Shout out
to our graphic designer, Alex Gelman.
Okay.
Let's go with the National League. The NL East. The Washington Nationals are the clear favorite in that division.
Yeah, and also
they're stacked.
Bryce Harper's.
He's a good baseball player.
Upcoming free agent, right?
Is he? Is he considering the Yankees? Maybe.
That'd be the best outfield.
Ever. Out. It would be three right fielders.
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
But I think we'd make it work. I think we'd figure it out.
Wow, would that be crazy? So, you know what? I really think that Bryce Harper should go to New York.
Really?
I think that it would be great for the Yankees. And you know what? Might be time for the Nationals to rebuild a little bit.
Maybe.
kidding.
No, they're stacked.
They're great.
If you look at, I'm just going to run through their lineup. Just theoretically, say Trey Turner batting first. The guy is possibly faster than Buxton. Actually, no, let's go here. Adam Eden batting first.
Uh-huh.
Trey Turner batting second. Then you have Murphy batting third. No, Harper batting third. Murphy hitting fourth. Zimmerman hitting fifth. Rendon hitting sixth.
Matt Wieters
is there. Catcher. He's a good hitting catcher. And Michael A. Taylor. And then you have a pitcher. But, this team... Taylor's fine, but 1-7 is, you don't want to be facing that lineup. Anthony Rendon is a guy who's a dark horse MVP candidate, and he's their six hitter.
And I don't see any holes on this team. We just went through the starting pitching, Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez, Tyler Roark?
Taylor Roark.
Rourke.
Yeah.
And look at their bullpen. Benoit is awesome. Mm-hmm. Joaquin Benoit.
I'd say that's their only relative weakness. I don't think it's a weakness. I think it's not a super strength.
But them. I'm just saying.
Because the rest of their team is so good.
Doolittle's a good closer, right?
They're very good. Right. They're just not up to the level of their
one. But I'm saying that they think those are starters that could go to the seventh every game.
Right.
And get it to Benoit Doolittle game over.
I mean, Scherzer's won two Cy Youngs, three Cy Youngs?
I don't know.
I think he's won three. Let me check on that. Again.
Fun fact about Scherzer, his eyes are different colors.
Blue and brown.
It's so cool.
Let's see how many Cy Youngs he's won. Let's see. He has won three Cy Youngs, one with the Detroit, and he's won back-to-back Cy Youngs. Cy Youngs.
It's really crazy how many good pitchers have gone through Detroit. Ooh, can I show off?
Go.
Let's go with Verlander, Scherzer.
Rick Porcello,
Doug Fister.
Yeah, that was one rotation.
I had more.
Yeah. He had, in the last 2 years, he led the league in strikeouts both years. 284 and 268. He led the league in whip, walks, and hits per inning pitch.
I'd like to officially say I don't think that was me showing off, but yeah.
So he's...
David
Price was there, right.
Because I was just thinking, they haven't done a great job of holding on to their talent.
They haven't done a good job of holding on to their
talent. Victor Martinez was awesome there. Yeah,
they only have Miguel
Ian Burns. Kinsler.
Prince Fielder. He retired.
Wow. Yeah. Come on the pod, Prince.
Yeah. Hey. Got some time on your hands. We're here.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that
team is stacked. I don't see anyone challenging them. But the Phillies, Jake Arrieta, they have a good young team. They got
Carlos Santana.
Some other good prospects. They signed a second baseman named Scott something to a 6-year deal.
He's Scott something. Something's a really cool last name.
Let me see. Scott Kingery.
Oh, I thought that was his last name. Something.
No, not Scott something. Scott Kingery signed a 6-year deal. He's one of their good prospects. Aaron Nola is their opening day starter, even though they have Jake Arrieta. Aaron Nola is a great pitcher from LSU.
You know, one of my favorite things about opening day I'm going to go back to the olden days when we used to read newspapers.
Yes.
When you would see the list of the starting pitching matchups. Oh,
that's the best.
Stud, 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 stud.
Yep. Yep, definitely.
Interesting point about Marlins.
Yeah.
Your boy Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter. Shout out to Derek. Hey, if you want to come on the pod.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And also, speaking of shout outs to our good friends, as we aforementioned, Mickey Callaway, shout out. Mm-hmm. Matt's best manager. Of luck.
Yep. I think the Mets and the Marlins will probably be at the bottom. I think Atlanta will make a little run with their young, talented team that gets some excitement in Atlanta.
Can we call that a hot take?
It's a hot take. Hot Atlanta. Hot take. Boom. So, I think it's time to do some throwbacks. Do you want to start with the Braves?
Yeah, Andrew Jones next.
Andrew, nice. Okay. Marlins. We're going back to the Florida Marlins days. Mike Lowell,
third baseman.
Named a lot of third basemen.
Mets. That's too easy. Jose Reyes. That's a little weak, but it's fun. David Wright, weak, fun.
Weak, fun, though. Okay, Phillies. There's something here. Pat Burrell. Yes.
I think it was pronounced Burrell.
Burrell.
Right?
Either one.
Raul Ibanez.
Boom.
Let's just shout out to Ryan Howard. Not from The Office, but...
He's great, but... you haven't gotten up to that yet.
What?
Ryan Howard goes on The Office as Ryan Howard.
Oh, Get Out.
Yeah, the Ryan Howard of the Phillies.
Like Cameron Jordan, Jordan Cameron?
No, but like Ryan Howard of the Phillies.
Goes on. And he, that's really cool.
You know, Ryan Howard is named after Ryan Howard.
I didn't know that.
Because Scranton.
Love that.
Shout out to The Office. One of the best television programs ever made.
Yeah. Love The Office.
Yeah. Hey, Michael Scott or Steve Carell, if you want to come on the show.
We'll take either Michael Scott or Steve Carell.
Either one. Boom.
And then...
See, Nationals.
Expos.
Go Expos also.
Shout out to the Expos for doing one of the greatest trades in MLB history for the Cleveland Indians. I just want to get my facts right. Are you able to look it up real quick as I use... Yeah. We got Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, maybe Cliff Lee for... The great Bartolo Colon.
Okay, Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips, Grady Sizemore, Colon, and Tim Drew.
I nailed it.
Oh, wait.
For Colon.
Wait.
Yeah. Phillips, Lee, and Sizemore.
Yeah. Wow.
You like that knowledge?
Very nice. Boom. Okay, so
Let's go Vlad.
Sure, we talked about Vlad earlier. Also, Pedro Martinez got his career start.
Ooh.
I think he also was on the Dodgers for a little bit.
Love that.
Yeah. All right, NL Central. Again, it's the Cubs division to lose. They're clearly the favorite. Who's Milwaukee at? Cincinnati was terrible last year, but underrated guy, Joey Votto. Gotta give a shout out to Joey Votto.
He is very similar to Miguel Cabrera.
Again, one of the best hitters probably you've ever seen, but doesn't get the same appreciation. This guy gets on base all day.
One second.
Yeah.
Give me a minute. Let me hold.
What are we looking
at?
I'm just there.
I know. Did they just have Prince Fielder as an advertisement?
I don't think so. I don't think they did. Oh, no. This is Eric Thames.
Power hitter.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Let me look at their depth chart. The Brewers. We'll look at the Brewers a little bit. Oh, wow, right, they added a lot of guys. This is a solid team. The pitching could use work, but Christian Yelich in left.
My lookalike.
Ryan Braun is not even projected to start.
Maybe he'll be... Oh, I was going to see...
Lorenzo Cain in center and Domingo Santana in right.
Oswaldo Arcia.
Really... Baseball. Yes, and also really good shortstop. They had they did one of those great... one of those great Sandlot...
Oh, that was
great. Awesome. That was led by Stephen Vogt, their catcher. You know, they can do some damage.
They have the vibes.
They do have the vibes, but I would expect the Cubs to run away with this one. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, like this team, like they're still really, really good from when they won the World Series. John Lester. They don't have Arrieta anymore, but they still have one of the best lineups in baseball. I think the rest of the teams in the division are probably pretty in rebuilding mode. But I want to continue my shout out to Joey Votto because he doesn't get enough love. What a stud. Last year he had an on base percentage of, Alan, take a guess what it was. Don't look.
454. Man, I'm good with my numbers.
His career on base is 428. That means he gets on 43% of the time. He's led the major leagues in on-base percentage in 6 of the last 8 years. He has over 100 walks a year, basically.
And he's doing this on teams that have been so great.
No protection for him. No protection. Yet he's always on base. He hits, too. He doesn't just walk. He had 100 RBIs last year in a bad team. He came in second in the MVP voting. No one's talking about him. So, This guy, he's great, and but it's the Cubs division. Okay, ready? Throwbacks.
Cubs. Derek Lee.
Nice.
Go.
Oh, it was Derek Lee. I was thinking Carl. Right. Reds. Oh, Bronson Arroyo.
Wow, love that. Brewers. Cleveland Indians opening day roster when they played there because it was snowing.
Nice. Next.
Nate McLaughlin. Sorry, I love Nate McLaughlin.
Yo, that was sick.
I love
Nate. Take it. Okay, St. Louis, my favorite one. David Eckstein.
Yes.
Okay. NL West.
Dodgers.
Yeah. Dodgers are really, really good. They're really, really, really good at baseball.
Shout out, as we forementioned, I think that's my third time saying forementioned. Now that's my fourth.
Forementioned, five.
Eric Hosmer to the Padres, correct?
Padres have some young, have some guys who can play. Will Myers, you know, some good power hitters.
Yeah. That's a great division. I should like that division.
Diamondbacks are good. And San Francisco added Longoria in the offseason. The
Rockies are
They added Andrew McCutchen in the offseason. And they also added Jeff Samardzija in the offseason. Wow.
This is a great division.
Wait, no, they added Jeff Samardzija last year. They added Jeff Samardzija at some point. And Arizona had like 90-something wins, like 98.5 wins last year.
Goldschmidt's still there?
Goldschmidt's still there. He's great. And also third baseman Jake Lamb. Watch out for him. Okay.
We're back.
But Dodgers. So, Alan, who's your pick to come out of the division picks? We already went through them.
Got to go Dodgers.
Dodgers winning the pennant, I think.
Oh, from the...
Oh, we haven't even done that yet. MVP choice. Let's go MVP choice first. Should I start?
Let's go Harper.
Harper?
Man,
I think,
on a mission.
I think Joey Votto. I think the team is a little bit better, and he puts up unreal numbers. Okay. Cy Young, I think Kershaw. We didn't even talk about Kershaw. He's really, really good. Kershaw or Scherzer, one of the two.
Speaking about pitchers, I love John Lester. And shout out to how hard he's worked in the offseason about throwing it over to first.
The bounce pass.
Yeah. Hey, that should be
creativity.
Cool.
Creativity. Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Mm-hmm.
We already said Rookie of the Year, Ronald Acuna. Braves, young, exciting team.
Should we go with World Series predictions?
Let's go World Series predictions. Let's see. From the AL, who do you got?
Cleveland Indians.
New York Yankees. No bias. From the NL, who do you have?
Nats or Dodgers. Let's go Nats, because it'd be fun. Maybe I could go to a game.
Maybe. I don't know. The Dodgers were just there. I think Cubs. Yankees, Cubs.
Okay.
And I think the Yankees win it.
And Indians win. Yes.
All right. Boom. No bias. And then let's do our NL. Did we do NL West? We didn't do players in the NL West yet. Throwbacks. Okay. Arizona. Oh, I went to Arizona. Luis Gonzalez. Hit the walk-off single in what World Series was it? The 2001 World Series to beat the Yankees. I was 3 years old.
Do you remember?
I don't remember, but I've seen it. It's terrible. We were one strike
away. Yeah.
Yankees haven't won enough. It stinks. Terrible.
Are you good? Rockies. Oh, Todd Helton. Easy.
I take your Brad Helton. Not Todd Helton. I gave it away. Todd Helton, I raise you Brad Hopp.
Brad Hopp.
Okay. Dodgers. Who's on Dodgers? Sean Green.
I love Andre Ethier.
Nice.
I love Andre Ethier.
Okay. Padres.
Oh my god. There was a time when I legitimately didn't. There was a time where I legitimately didn't know any guy in the Padres.
Nice.
Except like one.
Neither do you.
What was his name? Yankees third baseman.
Yennervis Solarte?
No.
He went from the Yankees to the Padres. He's
I just
baseman.
Want to look up
Chase Padres. Headley.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and now the Giants, San Francisco Giants. Barry Bonds. People, you know.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah. He was really good. But if we're doing like a more of a behind the scenes guy, Will Clark. I'm pretty sure he's from the 90s and before either of us were born, but you know, it's a cool name.
And I'm confident
and
to say
that's it. That's it from our baseball preview.
That was great.
Hope you guys enjoyed. And now it's time for our first ever our inaugural for whatever, our first ever mailbag. So we received 6 questions on Twitter and Facebook, and you know we're just gonna answer them. So the first question is, can you explain Sports Illustrated's reasoning behind predicting the Nationals beating the Yankees in the World Series? Please list the superior qualities that the Nationals have over the Yankees, which will ultimately bring them to victory.
You know what?
This seems a little biased.
Daniel, I think we should stay very specific to the way the question was asked.
Yep.
And you should say why the Nationals are better than the Yankees. You can do it, man.
I don't know if I can.
I believe in you.
I have to keep my integrity as a podcaster. So remember, okay, we're on the time. Reasoning for Sports Illustrated predicting the Nationals beating the Yankees is that Sports Illustrated doesn't always know what they're talking about. But the Nats do have some superior qualities to the Yankees. Their rotation is much better than the Yankees. But their bullpen is much better at not being better than the Yankees. Their lineup is about even with the Yankees. It's very different. I'd say the Yankees' middle is more destructive, but the Nats have more balance in their lineup. So the Nats definitely could beat the Yankees.
And also, I think
purely talent level, I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm not gonna say that I want the Nats to win.
One interest.
But I think the Nats definitely have a shot against the Yankees, and I've tried to stay as middle of the line as possible.
And one thing I want to add, Bryce Harper is a free agent this offseason, correct?
Wait, he's free agent this offseason?
No, I don't know.
Do the Yankees have more cap space than they usually have?
It sounds like it.
They do have more cap space than they usually have.
So it seems like this is a do or die year for the Nationals.
Right.
And I think that's something that Sports Illustrated had in mind. And
like they've also chosen three times in the last 6 years. They've chosen a lot. Almost every year they choose the Nats. They either be in the World Series or win the World Series.
Interesting.
They're a very good team every year. They win in the upper 90s. Okay. They're a great team.
Thank you for that question.
Thank you for that question.
That was a great question. And I would like to read, is it our first mention of football? I meant soccer on the air?
I think it is.
With the baseball season approaching, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Cristiano Ronaldo and his impact on the game of soccer?
Wow, this is a loaded question.
First of all, I'd like to break down the connection between baseball season approaching and its connection to Ronaldo.
I got it. Okay. Baseball season's approaching. We've begun the soccer season on the Sock and Shop Pod because we haven't talked about it yet, and now it's the first time.
A time for new beginnings.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Alex Gelman, our graphic designer. Thank you. It's like he knew we were talking about baseball in this episode, and he already knew we were going to make that connection.
Right. Should we give a shout out to the person, people who asked the questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, you want to do it?
You got it.
The first question was asked by Danielle Zuckerman.
Thank you, Danielle, for the question and for being a supporter from day one.
From day one. The original days of the pod.
Alex Gelman, thank you for
question number two. And now we should answer.
And a great logo.
I almost skipped right over that.
So,
right.
Being the in-house soccer expert,
All yours. He kicks it fast.
I think, where can you even start? It's like asking what's the impact LeBron has had on the game of basketball? I think the game of soccer will never be the same after Ronaldo. I think he has brought in a level of speed, skill, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I think showing that you can really be that complete player, actually very similar to LeBron, and also showing up in the biggest moments, he has just made soccer one of the most exciting sports.
Right. Agreed.
How did I do?
So I got. That's great. Move on to question three.
Yeah.
This question is, who is the best looking player in the NBA?
Stupid question, Ante Zizic.
I'd have to argue there, Michael Beasley. The answer is always Michael Beasley. When in doubt, Michael Beasley. I just use 11% of my brain.
I take your Michael Beasley and rate it.
I'm going to retweet that right now. I'm going to retweet my favorite video of all time.
And I'm going to raise your Beasley with Chetty Osman. Jetty, I think to pronounce it.
Jetty from Turkey?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
And was that Jonah Rosenblum?
I think it was.
Shout out to our man, Jonah Rosenblum. What a great question. You know, like, that's something. I don't know if I was expecting to answer a question like that.
Yeah, that's not what we had in mind, but you know.
Just like.
Hey, we'll answer your questions. It's what
Jonah on basketball keeps you on your toes, or actually puts you off of your toes because he breaks your ankle.
Ooh.
Or his ankles, I should have said. But Jonah thinks they're keeping us on our toes. Shout out to our man, Jacob Cohen, for this next question. OBJ question mark. Jacob.
He just wrote OBJ question mark.
That's OBJ is a player on the New York Giants, great wide receiver. Okay,
yeah, I just retweeted the video.
You see what I did there? It was funny.
Oh, sorry. What do you say?
I said OBJ is Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver on the Giants. Moving on.
Wow. That's true. That's all he really asked.
So, let's give him a little bit more.
Yeah.
He's a dedicated fan. So, my thoughts are, I think it's a very interesting situation. In my opinion, the question to whether trade him or not, I think it comes down to what they can get back, because it depends what route they want to take. If they want to try and have a couple more seasons behind Eli Manning, I think you got to keep OBJ.
Right.
Or the other way around, at the end of the day, there are teams with a lot of assets.
Right.
And Odell is a guy that can attract, that you can trade for a lot of those assets.
Right.
And if you're trying to go for a rebuild, this could actually be a really interesting time
right.
to trade an Odell Beckham Jr. Shout out to the Browns, in the words of Jarvis Landry, go get him.
Right. They were teammates in college at LSU.
I know.
But as a Giants fan, I would like to keep OBJ. He's really one of the most explosive weapons in football, and you can't just be like you don't really get rid of a guy like that because of distractions unless they're really bad. We're not really talking about the distractions right now, that kind of stuff, but I think, you know, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt at this point and just, you know.
I mean, breaking news. Shout out to our man, Michael Beasley. I think he heard we were talking about him. 22 points.
8 boards.
3 assists.
And a losing effort.
Most importantly.
Right.
Because he knows what's for the greater good of the Knickerbockers.
All in for the team. Wow. Okay, but Odell's really good at football, and as a Giants fan, I'd want him to be good at football for my team. Okay, next question.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shout out to Jacob Cohen. Oh, you already gave a shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jacob Cohen again.
So the next question was a great question.
Yes.
The first question submitted, shout out to R.A. Sunshine. One of the greatest names in the game.
Yep.
And a great question. Will Kyrie Irving look back at the end of his career and regret leaving LeBron? Daniel, thoughts?
No, he will not.
Why?
No. Oh. Why?
Next.
Please explain. He got his title. He contributed to that title a lot. And it was time for him to step out and, you know, find his own place. And he has really grown into that role and become a leader on the team and become, you know, He's not by himself where he's like just trying to put up 40 a game. You know, he's really becoming like a real team player, a real point guard, playing good defense, you know, really learning from Brad Stevens. And, you know, that team has gone to new heights when he's been on the floor. That team is also good when he's off the floor because, you know, Terry Rozier, shout out Terry Rozier, really good player. But
trains in Cleveland in the offseason.
Very nice. But I think Kyrie has really found his own place in the league outside of LeBron, and he's been able to thrive. LeBron's been able to thrive. I don't think he'll look back on it and be like, oh, what did I give up? Because, yes, it's the finals for a while, but at some point he might have gotten stuck there. Mm-hmm. And he never would have been able to have a chance to really prove himself in his prime. And so I think that was a great move by Kyrie. I don't think he'll regret it either.
Similar to LeBron, you think he might look back on the way he left?
Maybe. But I don't think he meant it to be bad. I think it ended up being kind of heated and dramatic. Overblown by the media. He didn't do it himself. And that's kind of how I look at it.
Just playing devil's advocate for a second.
Boom.
You don't think that...
Shout out to Horns Up.
Shout out to Horns Up.
We don't have an official Horns Up this week, but this will be like our Horns Up.
I think Kyrie could have stayed one more year.
Right.
Really... And just soaked in LeBron for another year in his greatness. And with LeBron's upcoming free agency, we don't know what he's up to. Maybe that's a very appropriate time to change things up. But again, I mean, it looks like it's working out great for Kyrie.
Right.
And we wish him nothing but the best, especially being a huge, huge Cavs fan. One of the biggest shots in Cavs history. I will always have a great admiration for Kyrie Irving.
Right. Okay, last question. Josh Kotz.
Shout out, Trust the Process.
Trust the Process, Philly guy. He says, my question for Sock and Shop. What is the future of USA Soccer? 2 soccer questions. Will they ever compete with their top competitors in Europe and South America? Can I take this one for a second? As a non-expert, no, they will not. And here is why. Because we have other sports that are big sports here. And our best players, our best athletes aren't playing soccer. Our quickest guys are playing basketball usually. We have solid soccer players, but those are guys who are in soccer because they want to be, and it's not obviously the guys in other countries want to play soccer, but that's their main sport. It's like how no one can compete with us in basketball, with the USA in basketball.
You're, by us, you mean me and you?
No one can compete with us in basketball, and no one can compete with the U.S. in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think they'll be able to compete with the top contenders in Europe and South America unless we start putting more. We see a increase in the best athletes playing soccer.
I disagree. I think that
another, you know, partial horns up.
I'm disagreeing from. I'm answering this question from an emotional perspective. I don't know. But I hope they do. Because there is something about soccer, something about the World Cup, something about these big soccer games that just bring the whole nation together. And I really... I watched a little bit of the USA soccer game last night. And these guys are young, athletic, and playing hard. And that can take you a long way, especially... after something like missing the World Cup, you don't know if there are kids back home that are like, man, I want to be that guy to take us back to the World Cup. Right. They might watch World Cup this summer and think that...
It's this summer? Wow.
Yeah. That this is awesome. I want to get that for USA. And I think there's a chance it turns around. And on the other side, I think you might see international countries getting more into basketball.
Well, they definitely are, but they're getting close. But the thing is, with the talent and the resources the U.S. has and playing for basketball, it's the other countries can't match
it. Right.
And if we send – and the times when the other countries get close is when we don't send the best guys.
Right.
If we were to take our best guys – like the World Cup is the premier event. Some guys in the NBA don't really want to play in the Olympics. They don't want – they just play in the finals or something. And like, that's fine. But the World Cup, no one's skipping on the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
It's very different. So if the U.S. treated the Olympics like the world treats the World Cup, no one would touch us, please. Yeah. All right. Thank you for those who sent in questions. We'll be doing this
soon,
and hopefully we get more questions. And we have a lot of fun answering your questions. So, and if you have any other questions you want to send in, just send them to us. We'll try to answer them. We don't have to necessarily do an official mailbag.
We're chill, as the cool kids say.
Yeah, as the cool kids say. So it's time for our hot take.
The hot take this week is baseball is no longer America's sport. Rather,
neither is football. It's hoops. Basketball is the sport in America today. I feel like, especially this year, I think I led with baseball because it's our baseball preview, but I think it's been football for a while. Baseball is America's pastime. It's still awesome. But it's not.
I think
football took over. But now, I feel like football is losing its hold a little bit.
From an emotional perspective, I don't like the thought of that.
Right.
I love all of them. But I love football, and I love baseball being America's pastime.
It still is.
Right.
But pastime.
I think you need to look at where society is at, and I think it is basketball. Look at its presence on social media, the
pop culture,
the connection. It's all everywhere.
LeBron is the most visible athlete in the world, and... Well, maybe besides some top soccer players,
right.
But in America it's LeBron,
100%.
You know, and then it's Curry. Like, how many guys are talking about Mike Trout? Mike Trout keeps a relatively low profile, and he's one of the best players we've ever seen.
I know.
Mike Trout, if he was in the 50s, he would be the biggest star like in America.
It's crazy to think about.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that time, like, the NBA was shown on tape. The finals were shown on tape delay up until like the 70s.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. People wouldn't want to watch it. Why? It's crazy. And I feel then football, Sunday belonged to football. You know,
it's football still owned a day of the week. Opinion.
And it still does, but at the same time, like, I feel that it's lost its foothold a little bit. We're not talking about football so much in the off season. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's like free agency news, but it doesn't like captivate you. Like, say
when you're from Cleveland, it does.
Right, but I'm saying like it doesn't. It's not the same way. Like, so there were big trades. There was Ndamukong Suh went to the Rams.
Right,
which is huge. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on that next week probably.
But you're saying in the NBA, if...
Say, like, Damian Lillard went to the Lakers. Wouldn't that get more attention?
The world would blow up.
Right.
Hopefully not literally, but like, figuratively.
So, I it's not such a hot take, but I think it's a hot take to point it out.
Yeah. No, kind of I like that.
It happens.
I think that's
we've made the shift.
Something to think
about.
I was
listening to the Bill Simmons podcast like 7 months ago. And he said, shout out to Bill Simmons, big fan.
Shout out.
Big fans. And he said, if we saw David Johnson on the street, most of us wouldn't know who he is.
I would.
Alan would, because Alan's a big fan.
I think so. Maybe but I most have people, seen him and didn't recognize
maybe,
him.
But most people wouldn't know who he is. But if you see like Steph Curry or LeBron or another or even like Lonzo Ball. I mean, different type of popularity. But even like Markelle Fultz, you recognize him. Yeah. And David Johnson was like the best player in football 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And no one would know who he looks like. A big part of that's the mask, but also a big part of it is that basketball has kind of supplanted the NFL football as the premier sport in the country for people to follow.
Right, and just the counter argument to the mask part, you know who Drew Brees is. You know Tom Brady.
It's a quarterback.
You know Peyton Manning.
Right, but...
Shit, you're right.
You know? Because you see those guys afterwards. It's a totally different thing, and part of it is naturally about football. It's more guys on the court. You don't see them all the time. You know, guys are in and out for different plays, you know? But at the same time, you can really see the shift happening. And that's our hot take. I think we have to call. I think it's time. I think we've been on for a long time.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners. Shout out again to WNUC Sports. Yep. Everyone here that has helped us out.
It's been great.
Also,
shout out to Anchor. Anchor's, you know.
Anchor.
Made our dream of having a podcast a reality, and we couldn't thank them enough. Thank you to all of our listeners again, and, you know.
Have a great night and a great week.
And a great week, yeah.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.